Hey everybody, this is Tracy Malone from NarcissistAbuseSupport.com. Today, I am going to bring you an amazing author. She happens to be a friend of mine, and we met through this world. Her name is Dr. Marnie Hill Fallararo, and she has written a series of 5 books, fun ways for you to learn, process, heal, and we're going to talk about them today. Everybody learns in different ways. Some people like a book, some people like Audible, some people, you know, just read blogs, and others go to YouTube and podcasts as you are here now. So when we are looking at how do we heal, what about if we knew that there were other ways to heal? And so we're going to talk to Marnie today. She is a survivor herself and the author of 6 books, and she is going to help us learn the more creative ways to heal from narcissistic abuse. So let's welcome Marnie, because you're going to need this. It's fun and it's healing at the same time. So let's go see what she's got. Welcome, Marnie. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, Tracy, thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
It's exciting to have you here because you have created this series of books, which I know there's one that is not in my pile, but a whole series of books that I wanted everyone to know about. And we'll talk about each book in a few minutes, but can you start by telling everyone how you decided to write these books? What's the story behind them?
Sure. Well, the 5 book series is called True Deceit, False Love. And anyone that has experienced any kind of domestic abuse or, you know, have dealt with narcissists, they know that it's not true love you're dealing with. It's really true deceit, and the love is false. And so that's how the book series came about. I was living the American dream, just like so many of us, and realized after 27 years of marriage that I really needed to escape the situation that I was in. And I knew there would be repercussions. I knew there would be consequences. I had no idea that the trauma would continue for years and years after. That really making the decision to leave was really just the first step in a longer journey. But, you know, in the midst of things, I needed to have a garage sale to downsize. You know, I lost most everything, like many of your followers can relate to. And I had a garage sale that prompted me to kind of have a spiritual awakening of sorts, where some miracles happened. And that's when I first began writing. And so I wrote my 2020 Best Books Award-winning spiritual fiction, God Came to My Garage Sale. And that is when I found that writing was very, very healing for me, to just make sense of experiences that I had had, whether they're positive or negative. And so, you know, I was kind of at the tail end of a wonderful career, a successful and rewarding career as a high school special ed teacher for 35 years in the Chicago suburbs, 12 of those years a university graduate school adjunct professor. So I was really, you know, ready to do something new, and I had to deal with everything I was faced with, and writing worked for me, and it seemed to be pretty well received by other people that, you know, find that our voices matter and we really need to bring awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you started off with the 15,555 terms. Tell us about how this was born, because it's like a dictionary for abuse terms.
Right. You know, I'll tell you, I didn't really start out thinking I was going to write a 5 book series. And really, when you are in the midst of dealing with toxic individuals or situations, and this can happen to men or women, it's not a gender specific situation. I would listen to podcasts like yours. So many wonderful people out there that are bringing awareness to narcissism. And I didn't know a lot of these terms. And so I would write them down with the intention, hey, I'm going to go look that up and then see, you know, how that relates to my situation. Well, before I knew it, I had 100 terms that I needed to look up. And then it wasn't much longer, I had 1,000 terms, because it just seems in this community, there are so many different terms to relate to what we are experiencing. And so I had to put a stop to it at some point. So I stopped at 15,555. But I will tell you, you know, as you know, that is not an all-inclusive list, because it seems like new verbiage is being developed every day to just kind of make sense and put words to our experiences. Because I really believe words, you know, they have the power to hurt, and we've all been hurt by words, but words also have the power to heal us and to help us, you know, to validate us and to give us hope and inspiration. So that is how that book came to be. And then one thing led to another. And, you know, I just, found that writing and words and language, they all can help in your recovery.
And again, what you've put together here, no one has ever put together. Like, there's no list. This is a dictionary for all of the terms. And again, not all of them, but 15,000 of them is a really good start for people to understand. Which of the books came next?
Well, the book right afterwards was the green one, the acrostic poetry book. And I chose to, you know, as a teacher, I needed some structure to the writing. And so I chose 13 poems for each letter of the alphabet. So it was a little challenging when I got to X and Q and Z and stuff, but it worked out. But acrostic poetry, I found very, very healing. And I wrote it from, again, different perspectives, from an abuser's point of view, a victim or survivor's point of view, child's point of view, a grandparent, a mother or a father, even a boss or an employee. So really, so many different people could pick up this acrostic poetry book and get some information from it. Sometimes it's an emotional response to whatever the term is. And sometimes it's information, so that if you don't know a particular term, you know, you can look up that poem, but get information to help in a real creative, you know, simple, short and easy way to understand some of these terms. This was really, I think, out of all the books in the series, I mean, I think they all have value, but this one I really think is so helpful to people.
So helpful. And again, it's creative, it's fun. It's like, oh my God, that's exactly what I went through. Oh my goodness. The more you read it, the more you're just like, this is perfect. Did you have one of these that you wanted to read to us, maybe?
Oh, sure. I'll pull one out here. You know, acrostic poetry, just so people know, it's where you put a term vertically on the page and then you use the letters. That's an idea. So you use the letters to either put in words, sentences, or long sentences. Yeah. So here, why don't I read, it's a little bit of a longer one right here, but called Covert Malignant Narcissists.
Okay.
That is something you talk a lot about. And thank you so much for providing awareness on this, because that really helped me understand. Okay, here it is. So realize I'm just reading it, but each line or whatever just goes along with the words, the letters in Covert Malignant Narcissist. Okay, here we go. Charming yet cunning, manipulative and secretive. Unlike the overt narcissist, the covert grooms each victim from day one. He very carefully selects an empath who is beautiful and intelligent, with resources he can plan to acquire after the love bombing and mirroring phases. In his need to control, He makes sure his victim questions herself and relies on him for anything and everything. At first, it appears he loves her and is looking out for her best interests, but it doesn't take long for the predator to get a bit sloppy, revealing red flags to his prey. The narcissist is so slick, however, that the empath and most everyone else is fooled, and nobody questions his inconsistencies, sneaky behavior, or the fact that despite living an extravagant life, there's no money in the bank, and he's constantly juggling funds and maxing out credit cards. He disappears unexpectedly. What is he doing? Reuniting with old flames or scoping out fresh new supply? He deceitfully claims he is working late at the office and must travel extensively in order to get ahead at his job. She believes him and starts taking care of everything, home and family, in addition to many jobs, so he can advance his career. She eventually gets run down and worn out. In fact, her health begins to suffer. When she asks him what's really going on, he says she's paranoid, delusional, and unappreciative. He eventually trades her in for a newer model with no apologies to her or the kids. Stay away from covert malignant narcissists.
Wow, that just nailed it right on the head. And obviously a covert can be a male or a female. This is, she's reading is in the book. So we're not trying to tell everybody that the guys don't get upset that we said women here. That's just what happened.
Oh no, and whenever I speak on this, I always make it very clear that it's not a gender situation. And there are many poems I have on there about a covert malignant ex-wife,
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect. Again, it helps you see it from a perspective that, you know, it's not the normal way. It's almost creative and fun. And it's fun to learn about malignant narcissists, but it is really just factual. And the way you put it together, like a teacher had to do that many in homes, because that's a lot of work. Yeah. I know the next book was this one, right?
Right. The third book is a survivor's workbook. So if people find that writing is healing for them, you know, they can, you know, write some of their own acrostic poems. For example, you know, there with each letter of the alphabet, there is one poem that's most of them are selected from the green book. Yes. So one on gaslighting. And, you know, so there's a poem, and then there are two examples for people to kind of, you know, try to create their own acrostic poetry. And then there's a few pages after each letter of the alphabet so they can come up with their own acrostic poetry that would work for them. You know, for example, if I took the F's, I could have flying monkeys or foreclosure, or you might even think of your own F word to put in there. Or F could be, you know, the start of a person's name. And so you can kind of create your own a poem, and there's not a lot of rules to it. It's very easy to do, but the healing that comes about is just unbelievable. I mean, it's priceless.
It's looking inside. And when you're writing out your own, and that's why I wanted people to know about these. Again, people are using coloring books to concentrate and heal. And this is a way to kind of like, if you're good with words, if you're one of those people that do Scrabble and understand and love that, this is going to help you heal, because you're going to look at that term and try to think of a sentence that goes with it. And all of a sudden, things come out of you that you didn't know would come out.
Right. And, you know, you brought up a really good point of just, you know, doing the coloring books and different things. We all need to do some activities to help calm our mind, you know, get the clutter out. You know, the fourth book is a free verse poetry book. And then the fifth book, and, you know, you probably have it at your post office right now, because I did mail you a copy, but this is a word search puzzle book. So if you look at this, you can kind of see, you know, different terms, and you know, I just am opening it up. So these are terms that we are all familiar with in this community. And so it's a word search puzzle book. And I found when I was doing my own healing, you know, from escaping a toxic situation, I needed to get out in nature. I needed to swim. I needed to take hot baths. I needed to eat a lot of chocolate, take myself out for lunch, travel. You know, I did a lot of things to distract me, but also to, you know, keep myself going. But one thing I did was puzzles. And I did jigsaw puzzles, crossword puzzles, and word searches because, you know, I told myself, boy, even if I were to just complete one piece of the puzzle before I go to work, mm-hmm. then I've done something and I can feel that little sense of accomplishment, the baby steps. But I'm a big one into words and putting words together. And I find that really healing. Yeah.
Marty made me this how many years ago?
Oh my gosh, many years ago. But yes, it's a Scrabble board with some important words that are related to you and your podcast.
Exactly. It was so exciting. So your word stuff has gone back for a long time from all of your books to all of these new adventures for people. And I can't thank you for what you have done to this community, because coming in and going, let me be creative. Let me, if there's other people out there like me that like poetry, that learn this way, let me give them something, because there isn't anything else like this, any of these books.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and speaking of books, I mean, Tracy, your book, Divorcing Your Narcissist, is a must read for everyone. Even if you are not in a divorce situation, the tips and tools that you give people are tremendous. And I wish I had something like this. In fact, you know, hindsight is 20/20. You know, in my case, I escaped with my life. I mean, I didn't feel like I had any time to kind of research the best way to be able to remove yourself from these people. And boy, it would have been a game changer if I had your book, because of the wonderful advice that you give, even about, you know, selecting a lawyer, because, you know, so many of us go through, you know, 10, 15 lawyers just trying to divorce a narcissist. Mm-hmm. And not all those lawyers have your best interest or are, you know, ethical or, you know, really on your side. And I'm really just on the side of truth and justice. You know, I didn't think that I was asking for anything unusual, but, you know, as it turns out, so many of us find that there's not always justice in the court system. But I will say that I really believe truth eventually prevails. So the truth eventually comes out. In fact, you know, all of my books have an abuser with a mask on, and the mask is slipping. And, you know, you may even find, if you start to be aware of narcissism and domestic violence, that maybe some of your friends and family and neighbors that you've surrounded yourself with really also are malevolent or don't have your best interests. And so that's a pretty shocking thing to find out, that maybe a very close friend of yours or a someone that you have worked with for years and years and years, they're part of that whole smear campaign. And that when you need your support system, they are not there. And it's shocking, but it's also a good thing. It's a blessing too, because then you really know what you're dealing with. So even though your circle has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller, it's more authentic, and you're dealing with more honest, empathetic, caring people who really get it. Mm-hmm. And but it's hard. It's painful to realize that people you might have known your whole life would deceive you and betray you.
I mean, so many people with their own families where the narcissist turns their family on them, and, you know, just all of a sudden your ex is having dinner at your parents' house and you're like, what, you hated him, our entire marriage, And now they're siding and conspiratizing about the divorce with you. And yeah, we'll if you give us more custody with the kids, then we'll be on your side. I mean, they are really negotiating your children's lives away. And
And you know, part of some of this domestic violence is parental alienation, which you have done some wonderful shows on that, you know, even where you had a mother and a daughter who were reunited. You know, I loved watching that episode that you did, because it really made it real, you know, because so many dads and moms that are wonderful parents do not have the children in their lives because of false accusations, Stockholm syndrome, you know, independent thinker syndrome, where, you know, the child, whether it's a young child or an adult, aligns with the abuser because, you know, they've seen how that person treats their other half, and they don't want that same abuse. And they break themselves off from the parent who was always the loving, you know, unconditional, I'll always be there for you parent. And it's just shocking. It's when you, I mean, that just makes the trauma even worse. And you have to really realize, wow, this is just huge. The impact that one abusive person can have on so many different people and kind of change the course of so many people's lives. Even though I choose to handle all these challenges with love and goodness and optimism, definitely with research and checking out podcasts and reading literature and great books but you know, it's still mind-blowing sometimes that the recovery for us takes so long, because you know, we are good people. We don't think like a criminal. And so it's very hard for us to put ourselves in their shoes to understand why they obsess over you and do, you know, do what they do. They can't just move on themselves. We want to move on, but we're forced to engage so many times because there's, you know, a legal petition slapped on you, or they stalk you and harass you. And, you know, I ended up moving to the Caribbean, you know, from the Chicago suburbs, for many reasons. I mean, I love where I live, but it's also to get as far away as I can and still be in the United States.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah.
The alienated parents have, like, I mean, any co-parenting situation with a narcissist is terrible. But when they turn your kids against you, it is, you know, it should be against the law. It's poisoning their kids' minds. It's taking away their support system, and it is criminal. It has to be something that gets a lot more attention in the court system. So let's hope that.
Well, there are people that are doing research. In fact, you know, and thank you for being one of the wonderful people that endorsed my book. This book series, but there were also some other people in the research community, like Dr. Jennifer Harmon, who writes about and does research on parental alienation. You know, she's a big supporter of what I'm doing, because she's more in the court system and in the research, trying to bring awareness where it counts for so many people. But she still saw value, and you saw value in what I was doing, and I just appreciated that support very much.
Oh, I am so glad that we had met so long ago, and that this book series is going to help so many people. And again, yes, we need to get more attention focused on this. So thank you for all that you do.
Sure.
Is there anything that you want to tell anyone that we've missed here?
You know, just, you know, if you want to check out some of the other podcasts I've done, or speaking engagements or book signings, you know, I have all that information on my website, which is the title of my spiritual fiction, which is GodCameToMyGarageSale.com. And I would just say to your audience, and I know your audience, and I'll tell you, we all are experiencing so many of the same things. It's like the abuser's playbook is really a thing. Somehow they kind of follow along the same patterns of their behaviors. It's very unusual. It's strange, but it's so true. But I would say to any of your audience, you know, if you find yourself struggling, definitely check out Tracy's books and her journals. She's got a lot of writing journals out there, and listen to her interviews with so many different people to gain different perspectives, which is great. But just realize that you can get through this. And, you know, just if you stay true to your own values, your integrity, don't become someone that, you know, is someone you don't appreciate and admire. Stay the honest, true, good, empathetic, caring person that you are. You know, do what you can to take care of yourself, whether it is, you know, with moderate exercise, nutritional food, you know, restorative sleep, getting out in nature, eating chocolate, you know, whatever it is, you know, just that helps you. Mm-hmm. Do things to take care of yourself. And, you know, you can't change what other people are doing. You can't control them, but you can control yourself and how you respond to things. And so just take care of yourself and keep learning. And, you know, in time, you'll get closer and closer to being fully recovered from this devastating thing that should never have happened to you, but it did.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Marnie. This mm-hmm. has been a pleasure. Thank you for sharing everything. And we'll put the link down below for everyone to reach out to your website and get some more information. And I know they can get these books on Amazon as well.
Yeah.
Pick a puzzle book, pick a word search, just sit there, learn and digest and relax with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Find fun in the learning, because these
right,
are
fun. Right. Right. You don't have to have heavy duty healing all the time. Sometimes you need to, you know, lighten it up just a little bit, but, you know, still keep moving forward.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Trace.
Well, I hope you guys found that helpful. Again, let's have fun with our healing. Let's not be bound to things that don't help you, but let's find some creative ways to look at the words that of all the abuse, to go through the poems. I love this book. It is so cool. And I actually never knew about acoustic poems before. I leave it to a teacher to be teaching me that. But she is amazing. And I did endorse this particular first book. And I highly recommend them to you. My name is right in there saying, this is a good one. Go ahead and get it and get yourself started. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you are looking for answers about narcissistic abuse, please visit my website, narcissistabusesupport.com. We've got so many resources for you, from, you know, domestic violence agencies to support groups in every state to legal aid services in every state. We're gathering. The more information I can find to get on the site for you, the better we are. So visit our site, find out, and have fun with it. There's so much to learn. We'll see you again soon. Thank you.